This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, and all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net.
911, what are you reporting?
We got someone or something crawling around out here.
Did you see what it was? Was it a person or an animal? Or?
I can't tell. All I know is that my sensor light came on, and I just happened to glimpse and see this thing running across the yard. A good-sized man or something looks like a man. I don't know what it was. Just that it ran across the yard, and whatever it is, it's running. I couldn't catch it if I was going to chase it. Jesus Christ, you better...
Sure.
See ya.
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Is he in your yard, sir?
Yeah, God, he's big.
Okay, what's he doing in your yard?
He's looking at me.
Okay. And the guy is on foot?
It's a big, real big person, that's all I can say.
Okay, but it is a person.
Yeah, I'd say it was a person, somebody really big, but he's all in black.
Is he a black male or a white male? Did you actually see whether, or was he just wearing black?
He's all black and he's big. He is big.
Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. This is Strange Harbor.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird.
The strange, the unprecedented, and the unprincipled.
And then they let me in here.
How did you get through security, Rob?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, we talk about strange topics, Sasquatch, any cryptozoology, UFOs, near death, afterlife, ghosts, conspiracies. Rob, you're a good friend. You're
Thank
a supporter
you.
Of the Sasquatch Summit. You've been on the show before.
Right. Yeah. I was here before.
Have you been out since you've been on the show?
Yes, I have. As a matter of fact, back at the same spot the last time we were talking about, I was in the Blue Mountains, mm-hmm. and we seen a 10-foot-plus Bigfoot that, or Force Person, or Sasquatch, whatever the
whatever jour, pronoun you want to use
for the day is, for the big hairy guys. We went back the following year. I tend to be a little hard-headed, not listen to when people tell me what to do all the time. And one of our leaders always told us, when you get up in the morning, walk around your vehicle, because you don't know that maybe they've been around checking you out, you know?
Right.
Because they do most of their stuff at night anyways. Well, I never did until we were checking out another camp, one of our campers that were with us. Mm-hmm. They had a great big old handprint smudge about 10 feet up on their trailer. They were in their trailer, and, I mean, it almost moved the trailer. I mean, that's how hard it hit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I might be a little slow, maybe not the brightest candle on the cake, but I'm going, well, if they're over here checking them out, maybe they're checking me out.
Right.
So I go over to my truck, and I have my truck rigged up to basically, I got a little bunk in the back with some food and whatever. And I'm walking around my vehicle, and I see some kind of interesting looking, it looks like a bat had kind of like scraped up against my vehicle. I could see little prints and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I get up to the passenger side of my truck, the passenger window.
Yeah.
And there is this fingerprint. Now, I'm 6'1", and I've got pretty good-sized mitts. This fingerprint was like twice as long as my pinky. And you could see where the knuckles underneath it were basically took the dust off my vehicle. Because up where we're at in the Blue Mountains, it's very, very dusty.
Right.
You can see where there was no more dust there. And you could what it looks like. Imagine you going through a drive-thru on the opposite side. Somebody's over on the passenger side.
Yeah.
Somebody's got their hand on the window and the door, and they're looking at you through the passenger side because there was no dust on the window. It blew all the dust off the window except for where the little pinky and where the knuckles were down on the door.
Yeah.
It had knocked it all off. It had blew it off, and then it walked around to the other side of the truck, decided to look in that side. It didn't blow off as much, but you can see There was no dust there. They were out there walking around our vehicles getting we'd already seen them the year before, and we've been going there for several years. It seems like the more we go there, the more they get used to us.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get something straight. We don't go hunting them. We do not try to pursue them. We go out. We explore. If they want us to know that they're there, then they'll let us know,
mm-hmm.
either through signs, glyphs, or visit us at night. We've had people who've had juveniles come up and tapping on their tents, and they call them the click click. That's its hidden nickname, was click click, because they're over there doing click clicks back and forth and touching the tent. And that's Blue Mountains, but we go to Bumping Lake sometimes too.
Mm-hmm. Now, where are the Blue Mountains?
The Blue Mountains is southeast and northeast Washington, Oregon area, right there, Idaho, Washington, Oregon, and a lot of mountains there, and very squatchy.
Yeah,
isn't that where Paul Freeman used to live up in the mountains? He got a lot of video.
Yeah, we went to one of his sites where he had a sighting also. And it's a nice place, and it's got a pond/river, which, of course, I mean, squatches like their fish and the crawfish, just like any
sure.
other animal. First time I went to the Blue Mountains,
mm-hmm.
and that was like 4 years ago. I think
yeah.
it was 4 years ago. But recently, we were at Bumping Lake. Bumping Lake is also all of pretty much Washington is squatchy.
Mm-hmm.
But we were out in this area, and we were out the night before, and Bumping Lake, they drain the lake during whatever, and then it fills back up in the winter. Well, we went out there the night before, kind of walking around, and we're always looking for footprints, you know,
sure.
footprints, signs that the hairy people are around. Didn't really see much. Went back to camp, you know, do what campers do, have your little campfire and you know, go for your little night hikes and stuff. And pretty interesting stuff happened on night hikes, too.
Yeah.
Now, we don't do, like, you know, finding Bigfoot. We don't carry these great big cameras and IR stuff. We just casually walk down the road, and I'll get back to that in a minute, but the what we seen at Bumping Lake was very, very, very interesting. We're walking over by this area, and it, like I said, it's very wet and muddy from the night before,
mm-hmm.
and you can see where something, I don't think it was a person, because if it did, it had a hairy butt, was sitting, kind of made its own pond by a stump, mm-hmm. and you could see where they were taking mud and throwing it against the stump that was over there. And if this was a person, it was a large gal, mm-hmm. because there were certain body parts you could see.
Okay.
But that's as far as we're going to go.
When you said hairy butt, I was thinking Bill right away, but that's Bill's out of the question.
Have you been looking at my butt again?
Well, yes.
And you can see it looked like there was an adult sitting, resting their legs in kind of a pond,
yeah.
and juveniles, smaller ones, running around, because you could see bunches of little footprints.
Now, were the footprints, the little ones, four or five-toed?
They were five-toed.
Okay.
And they had the mid-tarsal break.
Yeah.
They didn't look like the question mark like our feet would have,
right.
With the arch.
Right.
And then I happened to look across a stream, and I found another one. So we had this bigger juvenile watching the other kids out there, because it had to be, if it wasn't a human, I'm thinking it had to be a forest person,
mm-hmm.
unless it was big hairy people at 2 o'clock in the morning in the rain letting their kids run around on a empty lake bed,
right.
that people go fishing and drop their beer bottles and fishing lures and let them run around barefoot and naked at mm-hmm. 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, because those footprints weren't there the night before, but
right.
they were there the next day.
Right.
Wow. And so what are the chances it's humans, right?
Well, exactly. And we were up there. We didn't even see anybody camping up there. There was another campsite that there were some people, mm-hmm. but not in that area. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing saying you couldn't get in a vehicle and drive over kind of to that area, but who's at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Right.
I think I'm going to take all my clothes off because it's raining,
right.
And I'm going to go sit in the mud.
Yeah.
And, oh, let's get the kids up, too. You know?
Right.
So I'm not saying it was a forest person, but I doubt very seriously it was a person.
Mm-hmm.
A civilized person.
I mean, there's people on crack and meth and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff that do stuff. But also, I mean, and it's not just only... Bigfoot is not the only thing out there, and not everything is a Bigfoot.
Right.
And we have some that, you know, oh my gosh, that bird, it chirped funny. I wonder if it's a Bigfoot in disguise. No, right. No, it's just a bird. Maybe it's got laryngitis. Who knows?
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But we've gone on plenty of night walks, and this is, now I've seen this personally, okay? You're walking down, it's pitch black, there's no lights out there. Out of the woods comes a red light, about the size, maybe a mouse or something, comes out to the road, does a little, you know, like a jitterbug, kind of this back and the other, and then back into the forest. Wasn't a Bigfoot. I don't know what it was,
yeah.
But it was. I've never seen any animal. I mean, it was a glowing red light. Now, I mean, we have a lot of orbs that people see. I personally have not seen a lot of the white orbs or... But I have seen red lights that come in and out of the forest.
Yeah.
So not everything's a Bigfoot, but if Bigfoot exists, obviously other things exist too.
Mm-hmm.
Do I see fairies and whatever?
Dogman.
Well, that's another
yeah.
one.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear about that as much.
Right.
But there are, if you do your research, they do have plenty of reports of dogmen, which basically almost look like Bigfoot, only they got kind of the dogish face,
mm-hmm.
and their hands are more claw-ish than Bigfoot forest person.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, all around here, the Quinault Lake area...
Mm-hmm.
The Olympic Mountains, of course, you know, I mean,
is
very replete with them. Believe it or not, a lot of people don't know this, but Ocean Shores
mm-hmm.
has a lot of sightings. I have friends. I've not seen one in Ocean Shores, but I personally know 4 people who live at Ocean Shores that have physically seen mm-hmm. one.
I've mentioned numerous times that, like, the last 8 BFRO reports in Grace Harbor are in Ocean Shores.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and one lady, I don't know how she had this in her. I know, had it been me, I probably would have screamed and pooped my pants, maybe.
Right.
But she was looking out her window, kitchen window, and a forest person found a deer, which they're not hard to find at Ocean Shores. They're
right.
like puppies. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. Took it, broke it in half, threw half of it over his shoulder. The lady... bang on her kitchen window, screaming at him, you know, if I see something tear a deer in half, and I'm a 6'1", 260-pound individual.
Right.
I'm not going to scream at that thing.
Right. And there she is doing that.
And she's screaming at this Bigfoot, whatever you want to call it,
yeah.
to not do that. And from
stop ripping deer in half.
Hey, and from what the story I was told, it just turned around, looked at her in the face like, and what are you going to do? And walked off.
Right.
You know, and then my other friends, they live down on the southern, really southern part, not too far from the interpretive center. They've had them in their yard, mostly juveniles, where it's like you can see one of them is teaching the other two or three. And it's like a I don't want to say a teenage boy, but something of that ilk.
Mm-hmm.
And he's down there and he's like showing them how to sense things. And the other two or three are kind of, it's like a, you know, they're watching a science class or something.
Wow.
And he's like, nobody's going to believe me. So he had to go, he grabbed his girlfriend, mm-hmm. said, come over here and look. And sure enough, she was able to see it too.
Yeah.
And then they had that sense about them. Someone's watching us. They look up, looking at, so you can see somebody's looking at them from their house. They just get up and walk across the street, and we're gone. So, and you've heard the story, I believe, of the old man that was friends with the big...
Go ahead, tell it.
There was a man, I can't remember his name. Gosh, I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't remember his name either.
But basically, he befriended a forest person. The guy was not of good health, and I think that this Bigfoot was also an older of not good health. And the first time they noticed it, they were friends are dropping this man off at his house, and he's walking to his door, and he's wondering why everybody in the vehicle is freaking out. He's like, what's going on? What's going on? Well, what he didn't see was that this 8-foot forest person, or whatever you want to call him, got up and walked from the back of his house into, you know, the shores. It's mostly, I mean, they do have some trees, but right. It's mostly the salal and all this other bushes right. And stuff. Boom, back into that. Well, it seemed that this guy later on was able to habituate, be a friend of, which basically it is, you can leave them gifts, and sometimes they leave you gifts, and if they get to trust you, which they should never do, but sometimes they do get to trust you. He was able to actually sit down with this forest person and actually have lunches with him. And there's a, behind his house, there had bushes and stuff where this forest person slept. Probably, you know, like how do you put it? In the Native American days, when somebody got really old, they would just go for the walk, and they would go out in the forest, and because they didn't want to be a burden to their tribe and have right. to feed you and take care of you, they'd go out there and eventually starve to death
right.
or die of whatever illness. And I'm thinking that's what this one was doing. It's going, okay, I'm gonna be here. This guy obviously has no problem with me being here, so right. I don't have to worry about him scaring me off.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they do try to avoid us as much as possible. And yeah. there's good reason for that.
Of course.
Well, yeah, I would avoid us too.
Well, yeah, I mean, look what we'll do for a pair of shoes. You know, and of course, I mean, it's not getting any better. You know, right. we'll kill somebody over a pair of shoes or because I don't like your political view right. or your color or your race or your religion. No, they don't worry about that.
Right.
And they
well, you know, when we say, well, if there's not much brush out there, I mean, how do they keep from being seen? But, you know, if you watch the deer, mm-hmm. My wife and I, we live in Ocean Shores. We live out where there's no trees, but there's a lot of brush.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of deer out there. I mean,
there are a lot of deer.
I have counted like 13 or 14 right in my front yard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you go out, when you walk out there, you don't see the deer. There are no deer, and then suddenly
they just
pop up. Like we were, there's a kind of a little bowl,
uh-huh.
and then it's probably a couple hundred yards across.
Right.
And we were out there, and the dog barked, and out in the bushes, you saw all these heads pop up.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
There's about 10 deer out there in the brush,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we would never would have seen them if they hadn't popped their heads up.
And if deer can hide that easy,
yeah.
what's to say something of higher intelligence? And I believe, and a lot of people do believe, that they are a higher intelligence.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like two or three different camps on Bigfoot. One thinks they're just gigantic, the big giant ape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some people believe they're kind of a mix between maybe man and a person, maybe, you know, a man and ape a little bit. And yeah. then there's other people who believe that they're kind of like Neanderthal, but different.
Yeah.
And Neanderthal, believe it or not, existed alongside us for a long time and actually had bigger brains and were smarter, supposedly, than us. But, you know, I guess you don't have to be smart to survive.
We're still around, though, you know. But you forgot the camp that think that they're paranormal beings, too.
Well, okay.
I didn't want to go there, huh?
Well, because I'm part of that crew, too.
It's okay.
We call it the woo.
It's okay.
And if you've, and you have, you're a very smart guy. In fact, I was listening to a couple of your
you've
stuff.
You've been drinking again, haven't you?
And when I get home, when I mow the lawn, I definitely will be drinking.
Can you explain what the woo is for someone someone that might not know.
The woo is believing that Bigfoot is more than just an ape or more than just a person, that they have spiritual abilities to be able to cloak, to be able to mind speak. All the stuff that supposedly we used to be able to do thousands of years ago before the wars and burned down all these libraries and all this knowledge that we used to have, Native Americans actually, up until we came here and decimated most of them, were able to go out in the woods and hide in plain sight right in front of us.
Sure.
So they are able to do that, and they haven't forgot it. They don't have technology. Yeah. They don't need technology. Mm-hmm. They haven't forgot, and they teach, and they keep learning. You know, I mean, we sure. learn every day more stuff, right, or you die kind of deal. They've been around for thousands of years. There's stories, if you read any history of in whatever, they've been here, the story of the crazy hairy man or the Jersey Devil or whatever you want to call
yeah.
them. You know, they're called different names in different areas. But they've been around for a long, long time. And they are not going to forget. They learn this stuff. They teach it to their kids.
Mm-hmm.
We had a guy who was out, and he's walking in a clear cut. And he's walking through the clear cut, and he's, that stump looks awfully weird. He's walking by the stump, and then he looks at it, and he's like, that's a Bigfoot. And he could see it, but it was kind of like, you can see it's a Bigfoot, but he could also see that it was trying to portray itself as a stump. And the voice in his head was saying, you don't see me, I'm a stump. You don't see me, I'm a stump.
Yeah.
Wow. He goes,
but I do see you, mm-hmm. you know, and then, of course, it got up and walked away.
Jedi mind trick. Huh?
Yeah. Well, so.
Kinda.
Well, yeah. So they're not the hairless people
no.
that just out there and not smart enough to survive. They're very smart.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious that Bigfoot has intellect.
Well, they
you
have.
Know, beyond basic animal intellect, they have a higher level of intellect.
I mean, it's so evident when, like, if there was an EMP today, 90% of the world would die.
Mm-hmm.
Not Bigfoot.
No.
They don't need electronics. They're out there surviving in
sure.
the land and the mountains and whatever.
Well, and one of the reasons we've lost our spiritual connection with the earth and our ability to
and that's a big thing, hear spiritual
mind
connection.
Hear mind speak and to be able to communicate on a higher level, to be to have higher spiritual powers is because we're so distracted by technology.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes I think we think of Bigfoot as being less than human or of lower intellect. They're not distracted by all that stuff.
No, and you're right. They're not less human than us. In fact, they're probably more human.
That's very possible.
Yeah, but we always judge them by our eyes. Because,
right.
oh, if you don't have
by
a car,
standards.
If you're not wearing clothes, if you don't have a cell phone, you're not technically advanced. Well, you must be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
No. If you can live without all that stuff, you're pretty smart.
That's
right.
Right. And you're intellectually advanced. So.
Exactly. You're more in tune with
sure.
nature, God.
The energy of the
universe. The energy of the universe. And I know you've had some experience with that. I've read
yes.
your book. And I've read a couple of other books of near death and stuff. And so I really have a hard time with certain people not understanding. You know, they think that this right now, the now, is all they have. And that's not all they have. There's a lot of spiritual stuff going on that if you listen to, you know, you'll kind of start, you know, like your inner voice. You know what I mean?
Right.
It took me 50 plus years to start listening to my inner voice saying, Rob, you don't want to do that. Or Rob, go this way, right?
And we'd much rather listen to Fox News, right, than our inner voice.
Fox, CNN, I don't know. I don't know who to trust anymore.
How about yourself?
Well, there you go.
How about Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird and more coming up? We're talking Bigfoot.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
Well, it's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. Got our buddy Rob in here, along with Bill Vandenbush, Johnny Manson. We're talking Bigfoot, but we kind of took a detour.
Yeah.
A little spirituality.
A little spiritual detour. Talking about near-death experience and the energy of the universe. And
how it kind of goes together, and a lot of people, well, we talked earlier that, you know, with Bigfoot, people are, you know, they're on their phones, and Bigfoot could walk right by you, wouldn't even know they're there.
Right.
Well, we have gotten so enamored with our technology, where we can text and stuff, we don't listen to our inner selves.
Right.
Which will keep you out of trouble, I found out after 50 years, because I'm a dingleberry.
Same here.
But also, I've done some reading, and I read your book, your experience in near-death, and then I've read some other near-death experience books. My daughter's really into this, too.
Yeah.
And I believe I sent her your book, as a matter of fact. But this guy, this other guy, 9 years was in Vietnam, but this guy had a bacterial meningitis, something, whatever, in the back of his spine. And basically, once you brain dead for more than for hours, you basically don't come back but a vegetable.
Right.
This guy was brain dead for a week.
Wow.
A week. Wow. They were just about to unplug him. And he came back, and he was telling the story of being over there, and he didn't quite call it hell, but he said it was like a worm's eye view of kind of muck and mud and voices and people's faces coming at him.
Wow.
And then he learned that he had the power to kind of rise up out of that. And his guardian, who at the time when he first seen, had like kind of wings of a butterfly, and it was kind of a pretty young lady taking him to different places through different, I guess, dimensions, heaven and dimensions. If you're into spirituality and on all this, you know, heaven is not just up in the sky. Heaven, you know, there's
everywhere.
There's a thin line. That's we'll get into that.
Tokyo Massage downtown.
What had happened is before he had met, he found out that he was adopted. And his adopted family treated him great. He had a great time, but he wanted to meet his real mom and dad.
Yeah.
Well, at first they said no, which really kind of put him in a funk. I mean, this guy's a doctor, okay?
Yeah.
So he was, you know, real smart guy, but it put him in a funk. Well, finally he was able to meet his family. And this is, of course, happens before he goes into this coma or whatever he was in. And they said, yeah, well, you have a sister, but she died at a certain age. Well, you know, okay, we'll send you a picture. Well, it turns out when they finally send him this picture after he comes out of the coma and everything, guess who his guide was? His guide was his sister that he had never, ever met.
Wow.
Wow.
So there is a lot of stuff out there, and so many people get so hung up on what's happening right now and here that they need to realize that there are other things out there. You need to listen to that voice and do the right thing, or what you believe or perceive to be the right thing.
Right.
And
it's interesting you talk about a guide.
Mm-hmm.
In all of my what we call near-death experiences, although mm-hmm. I wasn't necessarily near death in all of them.
Right.
But there always has been a guide. There's always been somebody there to greet me and talk to me and take me to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't the same thing as my spirit. My spirit is independent of that guide.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's interesting that you talk about that because, you know, you're not a near-death fanatic and,
well,
you know, go into all that stuff in depth.
It's very interesting to me.
Yeah, but this business about the guide, and I hadn't, you know, I hadn't thought about it a lot before, but I think that we do have, when we go to the other side, we have a guide. We have someone that comes and talks to us and mm-hmm. takes us kind of on a tour before they turn us loose.
And, of course, with near-death experiences, obviously the person doesn't stay dead. They come back, and they're told It's not your time yet.
Right.
And that's what this guy was told. He goes, yeah, you're going to be going back, but here I'm going to show you this and this and this, and which you, you know, whatever. And so when you come back and it's just their stories, that should solidify or to other people that they're, there's other stuff out there. You're not just here for you're here for a short time, but your soul moves on, you know?
It's true.
And what you do here kind of affects where you go somewhere else, you know?
It does, because you take with you the essence of who you are as a person. Your spirit is here to learn from you.
Mm-hmm.
It's here to grow. It's here to... And it also helps... to guide you if you learn how to communicate with it.
I'm trying to get there.
Yeah, a lot of people just never get there because it's, again, this business of being distracted.
Distracted and, or told they're stupid or doesn't exist.
Yeah, and we don't take the time to really explore ourselves and our spirit. People always ask me, well, how do I do this? How do I get the spirit to help me do things? And I said, well, number one, you have to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
And by aware, I mean you have to see everything that's around you and be aware of everything that's around
you. Pay attention to your surroundings.
Yeah. And number two, you have to not be distracted. You have to be able to pay attention to what's going on mentally, emotionally, and spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
When I worked in the mental health field for a long time, and
I'm glad you brought that up because I was just thinking of something else when you brought that up.
Oh, yeah. And we used to talk about, you know, mind body healing, but we added spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind body spirit healing.
Mm-hmm.
And just when you stop and you get rid of all these distractions in your life, you can focus on that spirit, which can be very intense at times, but we don't notice because we're so distracted. And I think when you look at something like Bigfoot, who is obviously an intelligent being.
Very intelligent, very intuitive.
And they have the time to communicate with the spirit, to commune with it. On a regular basis.
All the time.
Yeah. And so, you know, when we talk about this Bigfoot being a spiritual being, I think there's something to that.
I agree with you 250% if that's possible. Okay? Yeah, of course they are. They're able to mind space. Why wouldn't they? I mean, if we supposedly were able to do it throughout history. If you read, you know, certain, you know, Bibles and Korans and all this, talk about all kinds of different things that we used to be able to do, but we don't do anymore because we basically put all our faith into gadgets and pay attention to gadgets instead of listening to what Mother Earth or what your spirit guide or whatever it is that helps you along. We don't do that anymore for the most part. And if you do, people think you're some sort of crazy. And when you brought up the mental health thing, this might be a little bit off the deep end here. But who's to say that maybe some of these schizos aren't really so schizo? Maybe they really are hearing voices.
Well,
maybe they are more in tune, and maybe their frequency is just skewed just enough that they actually are hearing things that we can't.
Well, for 10 years... I ran a treatment program for people with schizophrenia and substance abuse problems.
Uh-huh.
And what I found after talking to hundreds of people with schizophrenia was that my theory is that...
Is it anywhere close to mine? Probably not.
Well, maybe. I mean, kind of. My theory is that the average person, what we call the normal person, which I'm not sure...
There's no such thing, honestly.
Such thing as normal, but they have like little barriers in their mind. They have like dividers that can block out the past and the future and different parts of their existence, so that that their mind isn't overwhelmed with that. Mm-hmm. But people with schizophrenia don't have those little filters that filter this out. So they live in the past, the present, and the future all at once.
That can be kind of hard.
Yeah, and I talked to, you know, this was my job, of course, to talk to people. And one thing I found, I had a guy who was, he was kind of out there sometimes. And so I would take him out and we'd go.
This is Strange Harbor now.
Yeah. And we'd go out to lunch, or I'd take him out to the park or stuff so he could get out of the hospital for a little while. And I used to do that with a lot of my guys because they were, you know, they just needed to get away from that crazy hospital for a while. Mm-hmm. And every time we would drive by a car parked on the road that had a for sale sign on it, he would get all excited. And I thought, well, what's that about? And, you know, and he'd ramble on about all these different things. I mean, he'd just mm-hmm. kind of talk about just what seemed to be unconnected, just gibberish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after I got to talking to him over and over, I'd ask him, well, why do you get all excited when you see a car for sale by the side of the road? So he told me, he says, when he was a kid, a little kid, they didn't have a lot of money, and his dad was pretty good with cars as a mechanic. So to make extra money, he would pick up these old cars, fix them all up, and sell them.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd put them out on the street with a for sale sign and sell them. And whenever he would sell a car, they would celebrate by going out for ice cream.
Mm. Sounds like a good day.
So this kid who's kind of, you know, his brain is getting a little muddled, but there it is. I mean, there's some reality behind his response and his reaction. I had a patient that told me he'd been murdered 7 times.
And past lives kind of deal?
Well, yeah. So,
okay. Well, there's a lot of people,
you know,
that believe
and everybody,
that too.
All the doctors just said, well, that's just schizophrenia. He's just making it up and talking off the top of his head. There's no reality to that because he's still alive and here. So, you know, I get to talking to him about this stuff, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, if you listen closely to what he was saying, that in past lives, which, since he had no filter to filter out those past lives, he's kind of living those lives all at the same time, and the present life.
Mm-hmm.
So he told me about these times when he was murdered. I mean, he could describe each and every one, and they were all in the past, and he was aware of that, but he really had no filter to filter out the past and the present.
Hopefully he learned so he didn't have to get murdered again.
Well, he did, yes, he did. And that was the benefit of the therapy that we did.
Right.
Is he learned about what's happening in his mind, why it's happening. And I talked to a lot of guys about this kind of stuff. It really opened my eyes.
Well, okay, so it does kind of coincide with what I'm saying.
Yeah, it does. It's, you know,
not everybody.
I took a roundabout way of getting there, but
that's my problem too. I get to talking and then I have to be reeled in. Whatever. But
well, I'm going to reel you both in.
Don't do it, Johnny.
Our friend Mary Joyce, Skyships Over Cashiers.
Really?
I want to get your input on this because this has to do with the forest. Here is the post from Skyships. ShipsOverCashiers.com. The above photo and the following information are from Xander, a man we interviewed 2016 about little people who've been living on his family's land in eastern Tennessee for generations. She's posted like 4 articles in the
little
past.
Little people. Okay, cool.
When my friend and I were walking through the woods last December toward the entrance to the little people's underground home, we came upon a series of broken sticks and low-level broken tree branches. They were going in a straight line and eventually led to a cleared area on the top of a hill. We noticed there were footprints leading to the clearing, and the stride between the prints was really, really long, maybe 6 feet between prints. Each footprint was about 2 feet long and less than 2 inches wide. We didn't see any toe marks, so they must have been some kind of shoe prints. We actually heard whatever was making the prints as it went through the dense woods. It would go a certain distance and then stop. Then we heard it take off again and stop. The stop-and-go pattern continued until we got to the clearing on top of the hill. That's when we saw three depressions in the ground in a triangular formation, like a UFO had landed there. But whatever we were following through the woods was gone. I don't know what it was. We never actually saw the being, but we sure heard it and saw its trail of footprints through the woods. We can only speculate that a UFO whisked it away.
Well, that's a very good point, because there is a lot of sightings where Bigfoot and UFOs are, isn't it the same thing? And think about it. If you're a being from another system, or you live under the ocean or whatever, because I believe that there's a whole bunch of different civilizations around here. Mm-hmm. But who would you want to be more in contact with? People who want to go out there and shoot you at a moment's notice, or mm-hmm. people who are in tune with the earth and spiritual and are taken care of? Of course you're going to befriend them.
Sure.
Why not?
Right. Now, we've talked with Mary Joyce about the little people. This doesn't sound like the little people. I don't know, those low-hanging branches and the twigs and the
sticks.
You said
the footprint was 2 feet long?
Right, and like 2 inches wide.
That's narrow.
But this area...
It's like an ice skate.
They have found... They had found in the past little miniature, like, bows, arrows, and quivers.
Mm-hmm.
Remember in that little cave that they talked about? And the kids had brought them back to Grandpa, and Grandpa said, you go put those things back right away. Mm-hmm. And so they went back. And apparently the little people who owned those, like those miniature quivers and things, knew that they had taken them and brought them back. So they kind of harassed them for about a week around their mm-hmm. property. I don't remember what kind of harassment it was, but it wasn't too bad. But it
right.
was kind of like,
hey,
leave
our stuff alone.
Yeah.
But do you experience anybody... in your travels that have any little people experiences?
We have a couple people in our group that have taken pictures of and had some experiences with the little people.
Yeah.
And we call it the Field of Dreams up near Greenwater.
Yeah.
And they have actually, and I've seen some pictures. Of course, they're not the greatest pictures in the world. But yes, we little people, I can't say do exist because I've not seen them, mm-hmm. but I believe they exist. If Bigfoot exists, then the little people have to exist. And we've had people in our group, spirituals and another person that lives up in Greenwater, mm-hmm. has seen them and taken pictures of them.
What about Barb Shoup's video of the cloaked being?
Yes.
What is your take on that?
I think it's great, and Thinker Thunker, who is a person who debunks videos, or he goes and tries to debunk them if he can, he's looked at it, and he says, okay, this is what she says it is. It's hard to, I mean, if you really have to look at it really hard, but she's not the only one who's ever made the claim that they can cloak.
Right.
And
are they saying it's a Bigfoot doing that or some other kind of being?
Well, you know, that's a very good question, because it's cloaked, so you can't tell. You don't know. It could be a little person. From the size that she said it would, if it was a Bigfoot, it would have to be like a really young juvenile, really mm-hmm. small.
Right.
But then it could be a little person. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's stories through the ages of little people. I mean, I like to read all kinds of stuff about the little people. And mm-hmm. it's, like I said, Bigfoot's not the only thing out there.
Sure.
And UFOs, of course. And also, like the ocean. The Earth should not be called Earth. It should be called ocean.
Right.
But there's plenty of stories of UFOs coming out of the ocean. Mm-hmm. Well, why in the heck not? Mm-hmm. I mean, what a better place to hide than in the ocean.
Sure.
And if there are thousands and thousands of years ahead of us in technology, that would be nothing. And then, of course, the stories of in Australia and a few other places where right before a major catastrophe on Earth, one time was the asteroid, the ant people come up and took the Hopi Indians down into their caverns or wherever they lived.
Yeah.
And let them stay there for I can't remember how many hundreds of years until the Earth repaired itself again. And then according to the Hopis, we've been through four different lifetimes, I guess. Not lifetimes, but we're working on our fifth one.
Right.
And so basically the Earth has had four major catastrophes where
right.
mankind is...
Cataclysms.
Cataclysms where mankind are... people kind, have been almost worn out. Obviously not, you know, because we're here.
Yeah.
But we're, like I said earlier, we're like a cockroaches. It's hard to get rid of us.
One of the things is that we're now destroying our atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things that has made this planet livable and functional and healable is the atmosphere, the layer of air and ozone and other things that are around it.
If we didn't have ozone and stuff like that, we'd all be burned crispy.
And so, you know, as we destroy that, we destroy our planet's ability to repair itself, to heal, to become normal and natural again.
I believe you, and we are I'm with you 100%. We are destroying Earth and stuff, but Mother will only take what Mother will only take. Okay,
right.
Eventually, she will fight back, and yes, it might. It might be a great big Band-Aid on Mother Earth for 1,000 years, but in the grand scheme of life, 1,000 years to Mother is but a wisp.
That's right.
You know,
she's going to shake us off like fleas,
basically.
Maybe?
Yes. I mean, what? Average lifespan for a human anywhere is from 70 to 90 years, which is not even a fart compared to Mother Nature.
Yeah?
Can you say fart on the radio?
I think you can.
Okay.
You just can't say God.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
okay.
But you know what I mean. So, Mother, we will do what we do until we do too much.
Right.
We'll have activists that want to stop and change it, and sometimes it happens.
But
sometimes
we'll,
it doesn't.
Yeah, we'll do it until it's unlivable.
Well,
when we can't live here anymore, when we can't function.
Well, that's how everything works.
Then we will be
nothing has changed
erased.
Until someone, at least 1 million people die. People have to die for things to change. You know, the government does that. Government doesn't change anything or change a law until somebody dies, and then the public, then we'll make a law. But you've already got 4 of those laws. How about enforcing those 4 laws? No, we got to make a new one because you people demand it, you know? Oh, it makes you feel better, though, right? Oh, my goodness. Now I sound like I'm a... Oh, my goodness.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. No, we're actually out of time, though.
All right. Well, you know, it's great having you here, Rob. And
I like being here.
Yeah,
obviously, I like to talk, and I have certain opinions.
And we like to hear it all. And it's important for people to express their opinions, you know, and express their feelings and thoughts, because that's how we learn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and...
We won't unfriend you.
And we won't unfriend you.
Well, you know, if my other friends don't unfriend me with the crap I put on Facebook, I would hope you guys wouldn't either.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. Rob, thanks again for hanging out with us. I hope you come back.
I'll be back in time you ask me to.
If you would like to contact us, if you want to yell at us, if you want to yell at Bill for his new H2E, just log on to strangeharbor.net.
And stay strange.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.